So Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
What a challenge. As always, please do ask questions if you have any. If you've got a question, please put it into the chat function to Peter Woodruff, and we'll look at those shortly. But let's pray for Mark and for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please will you help us to concentrate hard on it now, and we pray that you will change our hearts through it. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Over these last few weeks, we've been thinking about the theme of God with us. We've seen that Jesus is both our King and our Shepherd, and we must not separate these two roles or pick just the one that we prefer. We've seen that these two characteristics of God and of Jesus go side by side. As he commands us to obey him, he also promises to be with us, to empower us each day to do what he commands. And we have seen that he leads us through the green pastures and also through the dark valleys of life, and he goes with us every step of the way. And we've seen that this is a repeated theme through the Bible. Even where there's no direct mention of a king or a shepherd, these two voices go side by side right through Scripture. Now, in our final sermon in this series, we turn to look outwards and look at the Great Commission. This will be a very familiar passage to those of us who are Christians. So please keep your Bibles open at Matthew 28 as we look into this more closely. If I had asked you what the Great Commission said, I wonder what you would have replied. I suspect that many people would have said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." And you might have added, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And then you may have stopped, as if that was the end of Jesus' command to his disciples. But that would be to miss off the last sentence, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let us think about this in the light of our series on the Shepherd King. Now, there's no mention of shepherds or kings in this short passage, but look again, both of these aspects of Jesus' character are indeed here. There's the King, Jesus the King, who commands his disciples, that's all of us who are Christians, to go and make disciples of all nations. And then Jesus the Shepherd is also here, for he says to those who follow him, "Surely I am with you always." As we've already recognized at the start of this series, there's a danger in separating the king and shepherd roles, and that is exactly the same risk here if we separate the two aspects of the Great Commission. I trust that this will become clear during this sermon as we try to fathom out what the Great Commission is all about. Let us start by taking the two parts of the Great Commission separately, and I think we'll find that we quickly get into some difficulties. The first part of Jesus' command is, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Here we have a command of Jesus the King. We are to go and make disciples, true followers of Jesus, and we're to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us to do. We're to go, make disciples who will obey. I think at Christchurch, we are very familiar with this command. It even links with our church's mission statement, to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. Much as we love meeting together and grieve that we cannot do this in person at the moment, we know that our church is not a cozy club for our members. We are to reach out to everyone else, to those who need the good news about Jesus. But think about this command. This command of Jesus the King is a very big command. Go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus spoke this to his 11 disciples after his resurrection. He was telling 11 people to go and make disciples of all nations. Imagine that. You, and you. Go and evangelize the whole world. That's impossible. That's just not reasonable, Jesus. Come on. So is Jesus saying that to us at Christ Church South Cams as well? Go and make disciples of all nations? Come on, get up, get packed, set off around the nations all around the world. I'll stay here and you come back and tell me when you're done. Is that what Jesus is saying? Really? I don't think so. Moreover, are we to tell converts that the main thing that they are to do is to obey everything that God has commanded? Are we really to preach obedience? Is that what we are to do? No, that's not the gospel. We are to be obedient to Jesus because he is the King. But the gospel is not about keeping rules and behavioral standards. It's about grace. It's about Jesus dying in our place and about Jesus changing our hearts from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh when we come to him as sinners seeking forgiveness. Obedience is the outworking, the result of Jesus changing us. It's not the way to salvation. So if we just consider the first part of the Great Commission, we risk ending up striving to fulfill Jesus' command in our own strength and maybe preaching obedience. We cannot obey Jesus' command in our own strength. And apart from anything else, that's just a recipe for disillusionment and burnout. So this is the pitfall we encounter if we just take hold of the first part of the Great Commission. Ah, but then we notice there's the final sentence of the Great Commission where Jesus says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And we may take this to mean that Jesus is moving on to a new topic. Jesus the shepherd is promising to be with us through the Holy Spirit for all time. Well, that is true. Jesus is promising to be with us in the person of the Holy Spirit for all time, forever. What a wonderful and amazing promise. I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's not with us just sometimes, or just if we're good enough, or just in some countries but not others. He promises to be with all his disciples everywhere, always. And that includes us. Wow. In fact, King David in Old Testament times knew this about the Holy Spirit. For in Psalm 139, he writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Yes, please, Lord, send your spirit to fill us right here in Christchurch so that we can enjoy your presence every day. Is that what Jesus was saying? Well, yes and no. We can delight in the shepherd's care and promised presence of the Holy Spirit, but we're not to forget that the Holy Spirit has been given to equip us for our lives as Christians. And in this case, he's been sent to fulfill the King's command that we go and make disciples. The Holy Spirit is given to fulfill God's purpose, not just for our delight. So if we separate out the two parts of this passage, we've completely misunderstood the Great Commission. The two parts cannot be separated. Just as you cannot separate the shepherd from the king, you cannot go and make disciples separate from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus never commands us to do something in our own strength. Our human strength is just not up to the task, not up to any God-given task. And Jesus is not commanding us to do the impossible. The King commands, but the shepherd, here in the person of the Holy Spirit, who is God with us, walks alongside us, leading the way, and it is he that accomplishes the impossible command, even through us. Now, mission is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us a great deal about the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot explore it fully today, but mission is the center of the Holy Spirit's work. This is the first reason why we must not separate out the two parts of the Great Commission. Here's a very quick run through of just some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. It was the Holy Spirit who gave God's message to the prophets, for the Bible says, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's in 2 Peter. Jesus undertook his ministry in the power of the Spirit, tells us that in Luke 4. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin and our need of Jesus' forgiveness. There are various passages that say that. For example, in 1 Corinthians 14. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes and our heart to God's word and gives us new life when we are born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that, and that's in John 6. It's the Holy Spirit who is with us each day to empower us to follow Jesus and to help us to pray. It says that in Romans 8. It's the Holy Spirit who caused the Bible to be written and is our teacher and brings to our minds the words of Scripture. For as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. That's in John 14. It is the Holy Spirit who purifies and changes us or sanctifies us, for we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It says that in 2 Corinthians 3. It's the Holy Spirit who guides us. Paul in Romans 8 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the very last recorded words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven were, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's in Acts 1. And this happened at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came with power upon the believers. And that's when the mission of the church began. Mission is God's work through the Holy Spirit. It's been his work ever since the fall in Genesis chapter 3. It is his mission. The authority is his, not ours. In our passage here in Matthew, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. And Jesus is clear that he's sending his Holy Spirit to be with us, his followers, always, so that we can fulfill his command in the power of his Spirit. So if mission is the Holy Spirit's work, maybe we can just sit back and watch. Well, no. This is a command from Jesus, our King, to us, his disciples. Go and make disciples. So our job is to walk close to Jesus, our shepherd, present with us through the Holy Spirit, and to step out in faith, speaking whenever and wherever he gives an opportunity. And then we let the Holy Spirit do the real work as he chooses. There's a second linked reason why we must read this short passage all together and not separate out the two parts. When it comes to mission, you may think, well, some people are interested in mission, called to mission, and others are not. That's just how it is. But then we've misunderstood the Great Commission. The Holy Spirit is given to all Jesus' disciples, and this is a command of Jesus the King to us all. We are all to go and make disciples, not just Tim, not just missionaries, not just some special people who are called. To all of us who are Christians, the King is commanding us to go. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to be obedient. So where is the King calling you to go and make disciples? In Sawston, or wherever it is that you live or work, or in some other part of the world? Don't be too quick to answer that question. It is the King who commands. It's not about my preference or yours. Have you ever asked the King, where are you sending me? I used to think that I could never be a missionary in a far-off land. I'm just not cut out to be that sort of person. And I suspect that God chuckled. But then he gently reminded Barbara and I that he was the King, and he could send whomever he chose. But he promised that as shepherd, he would go with us and never leave us. It took us a little while to agree and to obey, but we did indeed experience his presence with us, his empowering us to do his work. In fact, we feel that we received a greater blessing than we could ever be a channel of God's blessing to any others during our 6 years working with Africa Inland Mission. I don't know, but that's how it seemed to us. Now, wherever the King is calling you to be assured that the shepherd will go with you and accomplish what is impossible in your own strength. We go in response to the King's command. We take the first small step of faith by speaking the fumbling words that we can think of, like offering the few loaves and fishes that we have, which are completely inadequate to the task. And the Holy Spirit uses even this little to work his miracle of reaching the world. Now, if you were with us last year, you may remember in our church that we studied some of the Gospel of John. And we looked at a passage from John chapter 15, where Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's in John 15. Let Jesus be the center of our lives. Let us abide in him and walk closely with the Spirit. For when we abide in Christ and we are willing to be led by his Spirit, then we will bear much fruit. That's the outcome. But apart from him, however interested you may be in mission, we accomplish nothing. So if you don't feel empowered for mission, then the remedy is to lean more closely on Jesus, on his word, and on his Holy Spirit, not to try harder at mission. So what's the Great Commission saying? Now, one has to be careful with paraphrasing scripture, but I would dare to put it like this. Jesus says, my work is mission, reaching people everywhere. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit for all time. He knows about mission. Stay close to him and speak out in faith, and you will find that the Spirit can use even your feeble words and actions to reach whomever he wishes. If you try and do things in your own strength, apart from me and apart from the Spirit, you'll get nowhere. But with me, everything is possible. I pray that those of us who are Christians can now understand the Great Commission a little better. But if you're not a Christian yet, I apologize, for this has mainly been a message for to follow as disciples of Jesus. But to you, I would say, you are missing out far more than you know or realize. For God wants to be working in you too, to be with you every step of your lives. He alone can change and empower you to be the fruitful person that he made you to be. Speak to one of us or a Christian friend and don't let another day get wasted. So, where have we got to over these 4 weeks in our series on God with us? We've seen how Jesus the King is also Jesus the Shepherd, not just one or the other, but both. The King commands, often things that feel impossible, but it is the Shepherd who walks along beside us, guiding, leading, and empowering us to work in and through us to accomplish God's work. We've seen that these two voices occur throughout Scripture, even where there's no mention of kings or shepherds. And we have seen that he leads us to green pastures and through dark valleys, always with us, feeding, leading, protecting, empowering every step of our lives. Our job is just to listen to our Shepherd King and to follow him. And today we have seen that God's work is mission, and our job is to focus on him. And then mission is an outpouring of God's love and joy as the Holy Spirit works with our small steps of faith to accomplish his miracles. Praise be to God, who is God with us always through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Mark.
So, Mark, first question is from Ezra Grimshaw. He would like to know, what does baptize mean, please?
Ezra, thank you for your question. I didn't mention that part of the passage. Didn't really have time, but it is important. We may think that baptizing, which is putting, when somebody becomes a Christian, we either pour water over them or we take them into a swimming pool or a river or somewhere and put them right under the water. We might think that that's just a ritual that we go through, but the Bible is very clear that baptism is much, much more than a ritual. It is a sign of our being, of dying to ourselves and being born again to new spiritual life. And that is an important part of what God wants us to do when we make disciples, when people become Christians. We are to baptize them.
Super, thank you. Next question. It's actually asked both by your wife and also by my youngest. Would like to know, what is the end of the age that Jesus talks about right at the end of the passage, please?
Thank you for that question. Again, I didn't focus on that, but the Holy Spirit has been sent by Jesus to the end of the age, this present age. This is the age from while we're here living on earth and before Jesus returns. After Jesus' return, after the world is wound up and we're all caught up or joined with Jesus in heaven, then we don't need the Holy Spirit with us in the same way. We'll be in the presence of Jesus, our King, face to face. But until then, God has sent us his Holy Spirit because Jesus in bodily form has ascended to heaven. He's not here. But we are not left alone. We're left with the Holy Spirit right through all of our earthly lives until he comes again.
Great, thank you. Okay, last question at the moment is from the Buchanans. So why does God command us to do mission if it's the Holy Spirit's work? Where does this leave our own motivation and effort? And so should mission extend to every aspect of our lives?
Three for the price of one. Hey, Buchanans, let's see if I can remember them. Why does God involve us if mission is the Holy Spirit's work? That's a question which is not just about mission. You know, why does God involve us at all in his work? Not just about mission, but including mission. Well, he just loves to. I don't think he has to. God's purposes will be accomplished whether we join in or not. We're not going to stop his work being done. He works without us or with us, but he longs to work with us. But the fact that he works even without us does not mean that we can just sit back and sort of count me out on this one, Lord. This is a command of the King to us, to all his disciples, that is. He wants us to step out in faith. Faith is a sign of his work in us. It's a gift which he gives us. And he wants us to exercise, put into practice that gift. He's also gifted us in natural ways, intelligence, musical ability, all sorts of other things. And he can use those natural gifts too for the purpose of his kingdom and including mission. He just wants to. That's the answer to that part. And how can we argue? Isn't God good? He wants us to join in with him. Now, I'm sorry, I've forgotten the other two parts of your question. Can you remind me?
Yes, I suppose, would mission extend to every aspect of our lives?
Yes. We tend to think of mission in sort of narrow boundaries. Either it's what missionaries do, and I hope I've convinced you that's not the case. It's something that all of us Christians are to do. But then we may think about mission as something that we do when we specifically go out of our way to speak to someone about Jesus. Hey, have you heard about Jesus? What do you think about this? But no, mission is all of our lives. Our actions are a witness. Our words are a witness. We may not be thinking about witnessing at all, but what we're doing is noticed. People see our actions. Non-Christians see everything that we do. But it is important to speak as well, because how will they understand if we don't explain? So yes, it's all of our lives. And the third part?
I think you've already answered. So, right. But yes, it's such an amazing privilege that God includes us in his work, isn't it? A follow-up question from Alice. So does mission include the maturing of disciples?
Well, this passage makes it very clear that we're to make make disciples. And I talked about that in terms of mission. But in fact, the command here is to make disciples. And I think we know, or let us just remind ourselves, that making disciples isn't just about getting someone to agree that they need Jesus as their savior and they're asking God to forgive them and make him Lord. It is the whole of our lives as we continue to grow and become followers in all aspects of our lives, proper disciples, followers through thick and thin, day in, day out, not just on Sunday morning. So yes, Jesus commands us, the King commands us, therefore go and make disciples. It's not just about going, having a mission meeting, counting hands of people who put their hands up and said, now I'm going to follow Jesus, and then job done. It is making disciples. That's what the command is. Thank you for highlighting that.
Great. Thank you very much, Mark.